Hey guys,
welcome back to another episode of
Wine and Whispers.
We're back in our space. Did you like the salon talk though? It was a nice way to start off the season with some little bit of freshness.
Something new, a little dabble taste for your eye palette.
Your eye palette. Yeah. Kind of your eye palette.
Is that a thing I'm just making up?
That's a phrase we are now using.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Your viewing pleasure. There you go.
I like eye palette better. Oh, okay. To be honest.
All right. So,
ma'am.
Dami
Unger. Okay, yes, I'm sorry.
That's the song that's stuck in your head, clearly.
But I don't know how it got there.
Okay. No words. So, I wanted to talk about. So, there's this thing, right, called emotional safety. Right. And when you have emotional safety in any relationship, it doesn't have to be partnership of the kind where it's romantic.
Just a relationship in general.
Correct. And when you have emotional safety, the vulnerability that's there to be who you are and be free. Right.
Okay.
So with that, we're going to
uncork
and unwind. Oh, good. Okay. So, Nikita,
Denise,
can you recall a time where you realized you didn't have to put on your strong friend, tough girl, I'm fine voice in your relationship?
In any relationship. Do I, like, physically remember the moment that it happened?
No, but I'm pretty sure there was a moment where you're like, yeah, this is a secure person. I can be completely vulnerable without judgment.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, I mean, there's definitely those moments where I sat and, like, I got a friend, an acquaintance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, yeah, we'll talk. And then all of a sudden, as we're talking, I'm just like, oh, but I feel like I can actually tell you this. I don't have to hold back and monitor what I'm saying, how I'm saying it. I don't have to, you know, black out some things in the conversation.
Right.
I can just, it's an open letter kind of thing. I can just write you a 4-page letter. I can just write it and call it a day and call it without any problems, right?
Okay.
I definitely remember those moments. I think I remember them more vividly with friendships than boyfriends, I will say.
Hmm.
Those just stick out in my head. But I would also say that in a boyfriend sense, I feel like most of them knew they wasn't serious because none of them ever met my mom, my father, or my aunt.
Yeah.
So, like, if we were just fucking around and fooling around and you ain't never met my mother, my father, or my aunt.
You weren't of importance for me to get to that point.
Exactly. So then I was never truly vulnerable with you from jump.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Did I answer your question?
You did. So it's funny. There are some people who do not need to feel like there's a time and space with a particular person. There's some people who, right off the bat, they meet the person, they go off their energy.
They regurgitate all the stuff.
Yes. And I do experience that with some of my clients. The first time they meet me and I'm finding out things and I'm just like, oh, we're going, you know,
we're
diving in.
Deep end.
Whereas with
I'm not
situations
person.
Like that, or situations with friends and or partners in the past, mm-hmm. even with family, right?
No, yeah, any relationship.
You've come to realize, I can't trust you with this information because I feel like it's not going to be handled correctly.
It's going to be told to somebody else in the family.
Right. So
I'll not be.
I think I knew with some people, like there's people I tell things and I'm like, full candidacy.
Is that the word?
Mm-hmm.
This is yummy.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
So, you going to tell the good people we're drinking?
Oh, we are drinking hot water.
Pineapple.
I want you to know that I forgot. We're drinking a pineapple hot water. It's delicious.
Is it rum tiki pineapple?
I don't know. I think it was,
oh, you threw it away.
I think it's made a can.
Oh. Okay. I think it's rum tiki pineapple.
It could use a smidge more rum.
Because it's a little sweet for you.
A little sweet for me.
Yeah, it's good. But yeah, I there were some people where like, okay, I realize I've told you something, and I know that I cannot keep that with you anymore, so I will never do that. And there's other people where they've proven themselves to show that, okay, you know what? I can trust you with this information. Speaking of that, I'm going to pick it back. It's a little bit of a sidebar, but it's not a sidebar.
I'm ready.
So I was watching something.
Okay.
And Brene Brown, right?
Brene Brown, you know her.
She was being interviewed. Was it Oprah? Maybe.
Okay.
She was being interviewed by Oprah.
Still got a show?
No, no, no. I think it was like an old video, an old clip, right?
Sorry, my bad.
And it was talking about trust, right? Mm-hmm. And her relationship that she was having in conversation with her daughter about trust and about how you can speak to your preteen and teens about who to trust and who not to trust. And I took a... Yeah, what happened?
No, that's just a hard conversation to have a preteen.
I had to have it, though. Because this is the middle school. At I don't know age. What the hell. I don't remember middle school to be that way. Maybe because I blocked it out. You know, they say that you tend to block out certain things that you just
middle
don't want
to. Middle school was catty.
I don't remember it in that capacity. Were there kids that irritated the hell out of me? Yes. Did I tell them about themselves? Yes. And I kept it moving and that was it, right? At least that's how I remember it. I'm not going to say that's how it was to the T. But I shared with her what I saw with Brene Brown. Mm-hmm. Brene Brown had said to her daughter, she said, what is it about this particular friend that allows you to feel safe and trust them? Mm-hmm. And so the daughter recounted, when I was sick and I missed homework, she made sure I had the homework and brought it to me. When kids, you know, when I get to the lunchroom and there was no square else for me to sit, my friend had purposely sit in two seats so I can have a seat. So I can sit down.
Okay.
So little acts like that was how she was building the trust.
And didn't even realize.
Right? And so that's how her daughter was able to identify, this is someone I can trust versus someone I can't. So now as my daughter is going through navigating. All of the right. Things. She's literally going through all of the things, right? She's talking about this person and that person. And I'm like, what about this? And I used it, you know, because I think I mentioned it. Cool. Several episodes or like maybe season one, season two, that the car ride is our safe space to have these conversations. So in the car ride, I have the conversation with her and I'm like, what is it about this friend that you can trust? And she's like, you know, I've told this friend a lot and nothing has come out.
That's a great friend.
I said, that's a great friend. I said, what else have they done aside from you just venting and they holding it for you?
Right.
And so
other actions.
Right. So she's told me here in their actions. I said, okay, remember that. Because that's how you're going to decipher the real ones versus the fake ones.
Absolutely.
And so without even knowing it, picking it back to
today,
me answering the question. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how like I determined, and not even knowing the whole Brene Brown thing or trying to tell my daughter. That's how I was able to say, okay, this is a real one, you know? Nadi's one of my real ones.
I like her name.
Well, that's her abbreviated name. But it's her abbreviated name. So Nadi's definitely like we clicked.
She's an A1.
She's an A1, and you know these are also the same people. Vanessa's another one. These are the same people where I can go months without talking to them, and the moment we check in with each other,
you pick up like
there's no beat skipped.
Yeah.
At all.
That's a real one.
Yeah. So that was my high school friend and my college friend that I just mentioned.
Okay.
So yeah, that's, you know, those are the people, you know, that like when I was going through stuff and was frustrated and annoyed and there was no judgment passed in what I was saying, it was just like, okay, how do you need me to show up for you?
Literally. Or it's one of those, I love my friends in the sense that it's, how do you need me to show up for you? Whose tires we slash in? Or do you need a getaway car? Like, those are my real ones. And I just,
did you send me that meme? Or did I send you that meme?
There's a meme?
I sent you the meme where it's like, you know, you call this friend and then and you say, girl, and they're like, whose tires were slashing?
I don't know, but I'm definitely that one. Like, ooh, what we doing? What mischief are we about to get into? Because I'm ready. Ready. So my friend is like that. He's hysterical. We'll be talking and like we will be talking about random nonsense, right? First off, I find it funny because he's not originally my friend. Mm-hmm. He's my husband's friend. And then he's now my friend more than my husband's friend. So we be sitting, we be talking, chilling, chatting, and then I'd be like, yo. And he'd be looking at me and he'd be like,
what you about to say?
Right, because he knows what I'm about to say. It's like either a little nugget of tea or it's something about we got to do something about this real quick. And I just appreciate it because he pauses and he stops. He'll put his phone down. He'll be 100% in the conversation and be like, I bet what's happening. It's those moments. I love those moments.
Okay. So speaking of those moments, was it like a slow realization, or was it one of those like surprises, and what about it made you feel safe?
In general again?
In general.
So
unless you have a specific story you want to tell.
So I don't.
I'm a storyteller, clearly.
I don't feel like I don't remember my stories. I remember feelings that go with stories or okay. people. So I don't remember exactly what the story is.
Okay.
So let's go back, piggyback off this friend. Mm-hmm. So he was Ibrahim's friend. He wasn't my friend. He's known Ibrahim since college. And I kind of just tagged along, right?
Right.
We met each
you
other.
Read the coattails, what they say, right?
Right. So we met each other because he was introducing me to him as, this is my girlfriend. I want to get your approval. You know, is she down for the cause? So I just remember with him, it was very much, he's an asshole. And I was just like, I don't know if I like this dude.
Oh, gosh.
Because he was a dick. Like, when I say he's a dick, he's a dick. But then it's like, what Brene Brown, what happened that made you start trusting him? So I remember we used to live close to each other. And I remember I was stranded one day. I didn't have my car with me. I just got off the train and I needed to make it to my second job. And I needed to be there in half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't walk to my second job in half an hour from where the train was. It would have taken me an hour to get there.
Oh, gosh.
And my brain wasn't braining, right? Because I could have called a fucking Uber. But my brain wasn't
braining. You were panicking.
I was in panic mode. So, and Ibrahim wasn't around. I don't know where Ibrahim was, but Ibrahim wasn't around. So I reached out to this boy and I was like, yo, are you home right now? I really need help. And he was like, nah, I'm not home, but what do you need? And I explained the situation. He was like, it was silence. And I was like, fuck, all right, let me, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? I'm trying to brainstorm. Mm-hmm. Next thing I know, your Uber's going to be there in 3 minutes.
Aww.
And I was like, what? My whole brain was just like, I paused mid-text. And I was like, my Uber? Wait, what? Because he knew where I worked, right? And he was like, yeah, do you need a ride home? Or do you need me to get you an Uber home? Just let me know. Literally. And it was that moment. Oh, there's the moment. There's okay. the moment. And I was just like, oh, shit. He really looked out for me. It had nothing to do with Ibrahim. It had nothing to do with that relationship. He just had my back.
Right. I'm curious. How did Ibrahim respond to I'm pretty sure he found out. Like, what was his response to that? He doesn't know.
I'm sure he knows. I'm sure he
knows. You never told him.
I'm sure I did. In the moment, I'm pretty sure, because I probably reached out to him and said, I'm stranded, I don't have a ride, this, that, and the third. He probably said, oh, you good. That's Ibrahim, though. Like,
okay.
He's like, oh, you good. Okay. Ibrahim, at this point, admits the fact that he's more my friend than he is his friend. Like, we accept this fact now.
Oh, okay.
but he was definitely was just like, oh, you good. And I think we talked about how I was getting home that day.
Mm.
Right? But yeah, Ibrahim didn't care. Especially because Ibrahim knew who the guy was, right? And Ibrahim trusts all of his friends that if he has always told me, if I ever need something and he can't do it or I can't reach him, I need to reach out to some other people.
Fair enough.
Which I have, which I appreciate all of you. But yes, I did. In that moment, I was like,
I knew my college roommates, so Raven and Vanessa.
Yes, Raven. That's
so Raven. And Jesley. So the three of them. I know, I'm slacking. I knew there were real ones. And again, these are people, I may not speak to them every single day, but when I reach out or when they reach out, it's like, hey, how you doing? How's life been? You know.
Hey, boo. Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking about this. I was in a car accident when I was 20.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I had to miss a semester of school.
I didn't know you missed a whole semester.
I missed a whole semester of school. And during the middle of the semester, all three of them showed up to my mother's house in Long Island. So you're talking about someone who lives in Inglewood, mm-hmm. someone who lives Rahway, mm-hmm. and someone who lives from the Bronx.
I love that.
They all showed up to cut. And I was like, these are real people because yes. they took the trip to with no vehicle. So they took public
the train,
transportation.
The LIRR.
No, not even. They took the subway system, the New York subway system.
Why didn't they take that? Never mind.
Because they were coming from Newark.
They could have taken the LIRR. Never mind. Go ahead.
College students.
It don't matter.
College students.
Don't say that because I was a college student.
I understand, but this at the time we wasn't trying to pay that extra money. We were just trying to get there with what we had. Okay. But either way, I appreciate it.
I appreciate y'all too.
Because the three of them, they showed up to come see me, and that's when I was like, okay, these are my real ones.
They're ride or dies.
Yep.
It don't matter. You still talk to all three?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Vanessa's trying to plan something for us to hang out. I don't know how that's going to happen because my schedule's crazy, but we're trying to make life. Right, because we're trying to make it happen. I still have to send gifts to Raven and Jesley because
they have kids.
They recently had, well, Raven has older ones, and then she just had a little one. I think she's about to be a year.
Oh, she had a little one.
And then I think Jesley's daughter, son, I can't remember. It's one of them. Sorry.
it is daughter or
son. It's coming up on a year also, and I didn't get a chance to get anything for either of them. Vanessa had twins right after I had Mimi. So literally like months apart. I had Mimi.
Twins.
Yeah, I had Mimi in December. She had the twins in March.
Oh, literally right after. Oh,
yeah, literally right
after. About to turn six.
Yeah, so when we were both pregnant together, we kept in touch a lot. Yeah, seven. They're about to turn seven. I crocheted, how I crocheted this blanket here. I crocheted blankets for them individually. They each had their own blanket. I don't crochet anymore. Had I crocheted, Raven would have had a blanket for her daughter, and Jesse would have had a blanket for her son. I need to get back into that space, but life is life.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Because you come home when you're tired.
Literally. I came home last night. It was like 10:30 something at night. And then I wake up early to take the kids to school.
And it's not even that you're on your feet all day, but it's your brain is thinking all day.
Yeah.
In a hard capacity because it's in a creative space all day.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's how, for me, showing up. And then, you know, I.
Why are you looking at me?
I have multiple moments with you. I've had multiple moments with you. I've had multiple moments with Ray. Like, and I'm just like, okay. And I say it all the time. I was like, you and I must never part. Okay, we can fight. You can go to the other room and come back later, you know?
You go to your corner.
You go to your corner. I go to my corner. I'll give you 20 minutes to settle yourself and you come back.
Not 20. What if I need half an hour?
Okay.
All right, thank you. There are definitely multiple moments, right?
Yeah. Same thing with Dre. Dre's moment with me
was picking you up at the airport.
No, well, I planned that one, so that's not really a moment. Okay. When Elijah was getting baptized, he said he wasn't able to make it. He couldn't do it because my sister was living in Atlanta at the time. And I took the flight. Apparently, he took a flight the day before, and I didn't know.
How you not know? So wait, you was talking.
We were not living together.
No, I know, but you was talking to this man.
He did not let up anything to let me know.
He was MIA for 2 hours, minimum.
Yeah, I thought he was working.
All right.
Right? Because I was working on Long Island. He was out here in Jersey, so I didn't think anything of it.
I wouldn't have clocked it either.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I take the flight down, and...
Did he pick you up?
No. My sister's like,
Dre, all right. That was an opportunity.
No, this is what he ended up doing. So, I was traveling with my grandmother.
Okay.
And we went. My sister had the spot that she used to take us. It was really good barbecue.
Where in Atlanta?
Williams Brothers?
Does it still exist?
Yes, it does.
We're going to Atlanta soon.
Okay.
Okay.
Williams Brothers. They have really good barbecue. As a matter of fact, we took Ray there before when we did the trip with Ray.
Oh, I'm Slutty Vegan? That trip.
Yeah, that trip. We stopped by before we went to the airport, got barbecue and food, and then got
y'all brought home barbecue to New Jersey? That plane must have smelled
and
delicious.
And bought the sauce. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting there at the restaurant, and my sister's husband at the time, he stepped away, and he came back. When he came back, my brain didn't register it.
Your
but
brain
it was
tweaking, it was glitching hard. Like, wait a minute,
he was there because I was like, I would really love that if you could be there, and he couldn't, and he was like, I can't make it. I gotta work. I can't get out of work.
Da, da, da. Yeah.
And I just like. My brain couldn't register it.
Brain was just like, the points weren't connected.
Yeah.
It was just like, wait, kept missing the connection.
So he was there and I started crying. They got it. They got the.
You got a video?
I don't know if it's a video or a picture. Where that picture is, I don't know. My sister is the one who loves. As a matter of fact, I think I might have the picture.
In your cloud?
Facebook.
Oh.
But you don't want to be my Facebook friend, so.
I don't, but I can still stalk your pictures.
No, you're not my friend. Privacy.
Hey.
But yeah, that's how I knew, okay, he'll show up. Although, it came up to be an argument at one point or another. I digress.
There's always arguments.
That was for you, Sasha. I digress. Did you ugly cry? I did. I did.
Did you ugly cry?
It goes because it says, "Was the moment fear or was it an ugly cry?" It was an ugly cry.
So I'll be honest. I cried, right? I don't like crying. So like,
I know, I can tell. I've never asked, but I can tell.
Much business. So like, I can count on one hand in the past 10 years my cried easily.
So you're not one of those people. And I've noticed that looks like me in this case. I don't mean to take away what you're going to say.
You get mad and cry.
Yes.
So I'll tear up, but I won't let it drop, because then I'll bite the inside of my mouth. I'll bite my tongue. Huh. I'll cough. You're not seeing me cry. No one sees me cry. Like for me, I ain't crying for shit. So I remember
I'm a crybaby.
I hate crying.
I'm such a crybaby.
I can tell you vividly the one time that I cried, and I cried in front of people. I was at my job, and it was. I was, what, maybe 6 months into this job? April, May, June, July, August. 4 months, 5 months into this job, my grandfather was passing away.
Mm.
And I was on FaceTime with my mom. And she says, hey, I'm going to put you in front of your grandfather. You're going to have to say your goodbyes. Because he was passing away in the moment. Like, he and I'm going to hospice. But in that moment, they thought that they had called the whole family down. My aunt flew down. My mom flew down. My uncle drove to him. They thought that this was the moment.
Right. Because you started a new job. You couldn't leave just yet.
No.
Oh, you didn't care.
I did. I didn't. So here I was on. So first off, I was the front desk person on FaceTime. And now I'm bawling because I'm saying goodbye to my grandfather. One who raised me, I'm saying goodbye to. And so then my mom's like, an hour had passed. He hadn't passed away. So they were like, can you make it down here? I said, hell or high water, I'm coming.
Mm-hmm.
So now I stand up and I'm teary-eyed. I go to my manager and I'm like, I need to leave and I need to leave now.
Right.
And she's looking at me. First off, I'm always composed, right?
Mm-hmm.
In my job, I'm always composed. I'm always smiling. I'm effervescent, literally.
I wasn't today.
I wasn't. She looked at me and she was like, are you okay? That's the only thing she asked. I said, I'm okay, but I need to go now. She said, take whatever you need, just leave. Got all my stuff. I was walking towards my car. Had a panic attack because my key for my car had fallen off that day and I didn't even know it. So when I got to my car and I tried to click my car open, I had no fucking car key.
Oh, gosh.
So now I'm breaking down in the middle of the parking lot. So now I'm really crying. I'm crying.
And you shouldn't be driving when you're like that.
Correct. So now I'm really crying. I can't get anywhere. I'm on the phone with Ibrahim telling him to buy me a fucking ticket because I need to get out this fucking state and I have to go to Florida, but I can't leave. So now I'm going to drive, but I can't drive. I'm freaking out. So then my work husband, who I already had one at the time, God bless my soul, he drives up because he was outside and he drives up in his little golf cart and he looks at me and he says, where the fuck are you going? You can't drive. Get in the cart. We're going back to your office. We're going back to your office. And I said, I can't. And I'm freaking out. I'm crying. He literally just does this to me, holds my hand, and it's just like, you're coming
with me. He did a Pedro?
He did. You're coming with me. And I instantly was like, okay, I'm coming with you. And so he took me to the office, sat me in my manager's office, my boss's office. He's like, yeah, she had a whole breakdown. She can't find her key. Give me 10 minutes. He found my key in 5.
Where was it?
So someone had found my key in the parking lot. So he went to every, so there's 4 front desks, like 4 clubhouses at my old job.
Oh.
He went to every clubhouse and asked each front desk person if they had my key. In a little golf cart. Came back with my key and he said, are you okay to drive now? And I had calmed down at that point. I had wiped my tears away. And I said, yeah, I'm good. I have a ticket. I'm able to go. He's like, I'll drive to your car. That's like one of the.
That's a moment.
That's a
real one right there. That's a moment.
Like, and again, I was just my job 4 or 5 times. When I told you, like, that man now, I still talk to him. He's mad chill. Like, we have conversations. But, like, he was just like, okay, no, let's come on. You can't sit in the middle of the parking lot looking crazy because you look crazy. And I did. And I know I did, but I couldn't stop.
You just, like, I don't care. And, you know.
There was no stopping.
I don't know if this ever happened to you. Ever since I was a kid, I don't care how upset I am. And when I say upset, it could be upset like I'm sad, upset like I'm frustrated, upset, whatever it is, upset. Not myself, out of sorts. I don't care who the fuck is around. Especially with my mouth. Like, I've always been that person. And I'm not saying that it's a good thing that I'm boasting it, but I've always been that person. Once I've passed that tipping point on the scale or the radar, it's hard to get me back down. very hard to get me back down. And I see it with, and I try not to do it with in front of my kids, so they don't think that that's how you manage. Yes. Right. But they do it on their own. I'm so serious. I was like, and then I have to be in this in between phase of being the old school parent with the new school methods, right? Right. This is millennial parenting. Now we're talking about dealing with emotions.
Gentle parenting.
Right. Right. Emotional safety. You thought I was going on deep end, right? I thought I was going on sidebar. Mm-hmm. No.
Don't help that. I did.
Anywho,
I'm glad it was at you and not me.
And I have to manage, and I have to say, okay, especially with the little one, I have to tell her, take a deep breath. Man. Hold your bubble. Take a deep breath.
She has big emotions.
Yeah.
For someone who's so small, she's got big emotions.
And then the older one, when she's off that tipping point, reining her back in's a little hard. I'm like, hey, I need you to take a deep breath. I say, you know what? Because even I sometimes, if her tipping point's passed and she and I are going at it, my tipping point's gone. And I'm a bigger tipping point.
Right.
So that's when I, you know, you gotta step away. You have those parents that when a gentle parent and the parents that yell, I'm the yelling. And now that she's old enough, I throw a little curse words in there too.
She be all right.
I told her, I was like, you don't repeat
she
what
curses.
I say.
I guarantee.
She does.
I love you. Okay, great. She curses. I don't know. She
curses.
Oh, they all curse.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Can't hide it from me.
Right. You should see her when she sings the songs that has the curses. She goes, yeah. Da 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 da
da da da da da.
Right. Come on. But yeah, I have to say, you know. Take a deep breath. Take a moment. I said, you know what? I'm going to give you 5 minutes to catch yourself. And I'm going to come back. And if you don't catch yourself in that 5 minutes, and you still want to go back and forth with me, remember, my stick is bigger than yours.
Oh, absolutely.
And then I come back, and I have those conversations. I said, listen, I wouldn't be cussing and yelling if
you just acted right.
So that is emotional safety I didn't have as a kid. Not to say that it was anything wrong. My mother did what she did with what she knew. But she wasn't coming back to me and having these conversations and apologizing.
That's why I don't cry.
Why?
I don't have that emotional safety.
Right.
We don't cry.
Exactly. So by doing that, for me, that's an emotional safety that I want to provide her so she knows, okay, grown-ups can't manage their emotions too, but they at least can come back and apologize.
Right. And as a child, we understand that you can't understand your emotions as well. And you have so many of them.
Right. There was something I read one time when I was learning about the ADHD, and it talked about these two psychologists talking about the brain and how the brain is being developed, mm-hmm. and consider it like you have the soft feelings right here.
Did I show you that?
You have the soft feelings right here, like this big alligator, and then this is the emotions that can be regulated, right? That you know how to manage them. They haven't touched yet. So what you have to do sometimes, you got to kind of like put a little hug around the alligator to calm it down. So sometimes I have to tell her, I'm like, I look at her and I'm like, hey.
And she understands. She knows exactly what you're talking about.
Right, because we talked about it. She has all these terms. She's been, you know, in behavioral therapy for some time. I'm like, you need to traffic light, kid. Stop.
Oh, thank you. I was like, you need to
think about it. Move cautiously and then go.
Oh, I like that one. Stop, move cautiously, and then go. I like that one a lot, actually. Yeah. I know a lot of people gotta do that. Mm-hmm. I gotta do that shit.
Yeah. So right now, with my youngest one, the best that we can do for her is take a deep breath and hold a bubble. Mm-hmm. Hold the bubble for as long as you can. Because by the time you're holding the bubble, you're not thinking about it no more.
No, you're too focused in the bubble and holding the bubble.
Right. But you gotta put her hand just to pace your breathing and your heart rate.
Does she make that face too?
You have to. Yeah, you're holding the bubble. And when you realize you can't breathe anymore, you let it go.
That's a great tool, too. It is. But, man, those emotions. Kids and their emotions are just so funny just because they can't regulate. They don't know how to move with them. They don't know what to do with them. They just get so confused and confuzzled, and they don't have an outlet sometimes. So then they just, it explodes.
Yeah.
Because I definitely need those tips sometimes.
I'm glad. I'm glad I could share it with you, and I can share it with you.
Share it with the world.
Light up your life.
Yes,
Spice Girls. That's all I remember right now.
What is the words for that song? People of the world, spice up your life. Yep. Everybody and me girls, spice up your life. Shake it to the left. Shake it to the right. What is the image?
Okay. I don't know, but I have a question for you.
I have maybe an answer for you.
Okay. Do you think relationships make vulnerability harder?
What? Start over.
In relationships that you've had with people, do you think being vulnerable has made it harder or easier on the relationship?
I want to say overall it makes it easier.
Okay.
Because you can then communicate with that person. You build trust with that person. You create a safe space for you to be your most authentic self. Right?
Okay.
I will say there are times when you have become your most authentic self with somebody and then they use it against you because they never became their most authentic self. And so now they can use that against you, and so then it becomes a downfall.
Okay.
I think 90% of the time, it's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I would hope to say that if you've opened up yourself to be your most authentic self, the person reciprocates and you feel the reciprocation and you feel like you guys are meeting at the same page. There's always going to be that one little outlier where whether you've experienced it or you know somebody who's experienced it,
right,
where they became their most authentic self and someone used it against them to slap it in their face, to push them down or to make them feel less than.
Right. And that's how you weed out the real ones, the red eyes.
Right. Absolutely.
Versus the ones who are there just to pull from you.
Absolutely.
Drain you.
Correct.
Okay. And then with that, does vulnerability or feeling safe change how people show up in a relationship?
Yes, absolutely. Because once you start feeling vulnerable and you feel safe, your authentic self comes out. So mm-hmm. then the things that you were holding back, the crazies that you weren't letting loose. Oh, yeah.
Like singing and finishing the sentence.
I feel like I did that anyway. But yeah, it just all comes out. It just comes loose now. Mm-hmm. Dancing randomly, singing crazily. Yeah, all those things just comes out now. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because what are you hiding? Now you feel safe enough that you can do all the things that you do behind your closed doors.
Right.
That you can do now in a closed door with your friend. That sounds so wrong.
Open door.
It just sounds wrong no matter which way I think about it. But yes, all of those things now that you were ashamed of, you can now just do happily with the person that you're with.
Fair enough.
I'm definitely going to sing no matter what, so that ain't it.
So I'm going to share some stats about vulnerability and emotional safety. Emotional safety is one of the strongest predictors of long-term relationship satisfaction. Which, that sounds about right, right? Because when you're emotionally safe, there is a level of trust that is there. So there's also a level of all the other things that will come to provide you the endorphins and the happiness that you're looking for in a relationship.
Makes sense. Okay.
Okay. It says couples, but I'm going to say people who feel emotionally safe are more likely to resolve conflict constructively and less likely to shut down or escalate, which makes sense. Why you say,
I was reading lyrics.
Oh.
Yes, but I'm processing.
Okay. Which is true, because if I feel emotionally safe, that means I can tell you how I'm feeling without judgment or knowing that there's going to be some type of aggression or whatever repercussions for what I'm saying to you.
Exactly. You know that you can be honest.
Right. And then secure emotional bonds, increase vulnerability, trust. Didn't I just say that? Mm-hmm. Trust and emotional intimacy over time.
We know what the stats are going to say before the stats. Say them.
Right. So it says translate for listeners, which is, I think, is a little funny. Why would you?
What did you just say?
It said translate for listeners.
We don't need to translate for listeners.
I don't know.
Our listeners are intelligent.
Feeling safe equals better communication and deeper love. Now, I'm not opposed to that. Because I can.
Wait, say it again.
a feeling safe. Uh-huh. It's like an equation, right?
Feeling safe.
Right? Exactly. When you put these two things together, you add them together, your result is going to be this.
Okay.
So the result of feeling safe is when you provide better communication and a deeper sense of love, you'll have more emotional safety.
Got it. Okay. Makes sense. All this makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. And when I read deeper love, I'm not, again, not looking at it as in a romantic sense. I'm looking at it in a general sense, right? Because you can love your friends.
Absolutely, you can love your friends.
I used to tell some of my friends I love you before I hung up or when I finished seeing them, love you.
I think I'll do that now. I'm not going to send a pun. Now I'm going to evaluate all my conversations.
Okay.
Yeah, now I'm going to look at all my conversations. I know for a fact I do with one of them.
If you don't feel like you can do any of the following in any of your relationships, maybe you need to evaluate what your emotional safety looks like.
Okay, I'm ready. What are the things?
If you want to feel safer being vulnerable, start small, share feelings, not life stories.
Oh, like I feel a certain way, mm-hmm. not let me tell you this story about what this hoe done did to me.
Right.
Okay.
Watch how your person responds over time. Are they actively listening? Are they being mindful? Are they taking the actions that you mentioned either makes you happy or bothers you?
Okay.
Right? And then trust patterns, not promises. Again, how do you know this person is someone to trust? What have they shown or done to prove to you?
Oh, mm-hmm. What Brene Brown said.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And if you want to be the person who now provides that for someone to be that emotional safety space, you want to listen without interrupting. I'm going to add judgment. It doesn't say it there, but I'm going to say judgment.
No, yeah. I agree.
Validate before offering advice. Kind of like what we said in trauma dumping, right?
Oh, is this, can you accept this? Are you ready?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then thank your person for trusting you.
Thank your person for trusting
you. I think I do that. I do that all the time. I apologize and I think.
Oh, like, thank you for listening. I appreciate you.
I know you could be doing anything else. I know you don't. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I'm probably doing it on the next level where I'm feeling guilty and I'm thanking the person, but you know, just saying thank you. I appreciate you for hearing
me out.
Thank
you for being there for
me.
Thank you for being a friend. All right.
So
this is a very sing-songy episode by accident.
It is. By accident. So yeah, tell us what was your moment? Do you have that person? Can you remember the exact time you remember that you became trustworthy and emotionally safe with that person? Again, it could be a friend, a sibling, a partner,
or like a business partner,
whatever partner.
Right.
And I was thinking partner as in terms of romantic partner, but I'm thinking business partner. I'm thinking friendship, but sometimes they're not.
No, a business partner is not always a friend.
That's right.
It can become a friend.
True,
but they're not always friends from jump.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I remember when I became emotionally safe with Nyla.
You were business partners, and then you became friends.
Yeah.
Friendship partner. That's what I was going to say. That's not a word. Okay.
Yeah. I had a week where I it was slow for me and I couldn't pay her. And she was like, you'll pay when you pay it.
Right.
And yeah.
Because she knows where to find you.
And she knows I was going to show up every day because I still need to get my money.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. So she wasn't stressed.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been stressed either. But like, I know where to find you.
Ah!
In the chair next to me.
Yeah.
Literally.
All right. What say you people?
Thank you for being a friend. Those are the only words that I know. Do you know the rest of the words?
I do, but I have to listen to it with
See? You. See, so you know, I think I can only sing it when it sings with me.
Travel down the road and back again. When your heart is true, you're a friend and a confidant. Thank you for being a friend. And if you do a party, invited everyone you knew. The biggest gift will be for me. And the reading something in the card is just to thank you for being a I know I messed that up at the end. Don't judge me. Bye.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye, Wispies.
You get the gist.
Hey, Wispies. Thanks for joining us for another hard-hitting girl talk. If you have a topic or question for us, send us a whisper at info@wineandwhispersclub.com. That's whispers with an S. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to like and subscribe on your podcast listening platforms. See you next time, Wispies!